Welcome to the Unblocking Crypto Podcast. This podcast is not financial advice. It's meant for entertainment purposes only. These are just the opinions of a couple of rambling wrecks.
Welcome back to episode number 158 of Unblocking Crypto. Al, great to see you as always.
Good to see you, Jason.
So another pretty exciting week. Let's start off talking about David Sacks' crypto conference or crypto, whatever you want to call it, that he did. I know you probably did. I think you listened to the entire thing. So maybe I'll let you lead from here. And there's a couple things that I was going to input probably at the end.
Yeah, so I did listen to it live and I kind of went back and read a little bit about it. They talked about it on the All In podcast and another Scott Melker's podcast. They talked about it a little bit. So I thought, one, it's nice to have a press conference about crypto and Bitcoin. And not only did they talk, I mean, they talked about stable coins. I mean, it sounded like people that had a pretty good idea of what they were talking about. And I just haven't seen that out of Washington yet.
Ever.
Yeah. So the three main takeaways that I had is they talked about Tether in an intelligent way, stable coins in a smart way. Hey, this is a good way to drive the dollar into places where we don't have the dollar, so that we can have increase the stability of the dollar as the world's currency. And I was like, okay. And then he said, and by doing that, we create a buyer for treasuries. I'm like, okay, this guy gets it. We're like, that's good. Cause that's not on the surface. You know, that's not completely apparent. If you just learn a little bit about stable coins, you know, you got to learn about how Tether is operating in the background and generating their $10 billion worth of profit every year, but they buy a ton of treasuries. They're like in the top 15 treasury buyers. And as countries, as we keep tariffing countries and we keep putting sanctions on countries, you know, they might end up being in the top 10 here soon.
It wouldn't surprise me one bit.
So I like that. And you know me, I'm mostly a Bitcoin guy, but I think Bitcoin and stable coins are kind of separating themselves from the rest of crypto as far as how things are being viewed by like the mainstream person. They did use the word Bitcoin a lot instead of like digital assets and crypto. And they talked about a Bitcoin reserve. It was kind of light talk. The whole press conference was light. It wasn't like, hey, here's what we did. You know, this was really like the press conference where they just introduce things. And so he talked about choke point 2.0 and debanking, and he talked about SEC regulation and overreach and regulation by litigation. And so I'm like, okay, this is like pretty good. I mean, David Sacks, I'm sure I don't agree with him on everything, but he sounded pretty daggum good. He had Tim Scott up there, who's the Senate Banking Committee. He spoke for a little bit. French Hill, John Bozeman, who's the Senate Agriculture Committee guy. GT Thompson is another agriculture guy. So the agriculture guys are there because the CFTC falls into their purview on the commodity side. And so that to me, you know, they kind of understand that this isn't just an SEC and a treasury thing. This is kind of, they got to bring in the right people. So overall, it wasn't like groundbreaking news. There was nothing in there that like shook the world of crypto or Bitcoin, but it was nice to hear people speak in a way that they were supporting Bitcoin and crypto, and they understood it at least beyond Elizabeth Warren's understanding of it.
Yeah, I guess the way that I understood it was, almost two bills that were talked about. One was based on market structures, which is similar to kind of what the FIT 21 bill was that had passed, but not officially passed in the last administration. The plan now seems to be making this a much more favorable bill for the industry that could even include NFTs and would definitely delineate the responsibility between the SEC and the CFTC, which would be huge. And then that stablecoin bill you talked about, both of those are, from what I understand, expected to pass within Trump's first 100 days, which would be awesome. Like, I mean, that would be a huge deal if they could get that done in 100 days, for sure.
Yeah, and while we're talking kind of SEC regulation stuff, Hester Peirce, she did a speech in late January, but it didn't hit my radar until this week. And she went kind of all over the SEC regulation expansion and just how poorly they did and kind of how they were forcing these crypto companies and innovation in order to go overseas and be offshored. And, you know, basically it was a call for regulatory clarity and build a framework for this. So you got pretty much everybody talking in the same direction, and it's going in the direction I want it to go. So, you know, between like, it's almost like there's an organization to this. Whereas before it seemed like the CFTC was shooting bullets, the SEC was shooting and reloading as fast as they could. And now it's like, all right, let's line up. Let's develop an infantry and a cavalry and like, let's have an organization here. So I kind of like what I'm hearing. Like it's easy to say that when they're saying good things about the stuff I like, but in general, you know, it sounds like they're organizing in order to have a strategic approach to how they're going to handle this, which is way different than what we've seen before, where it's like, ah, great. What did Elizabeth Warren say this time?
Yeah. So Hester, AKA the crypto mom, did come out and say that the SEC isn't going to replace your money if you lose it in crypto either. So don't expect that to happen. And she is now leading that task force. But the interesting piece that I also saw was they had pretty much added a bunch of people to the SEC right before the end of the year to reload and have a lot more people to go after crypto companies. And a lot of those people are being regulated or put on other projects, which I think one of the top lawyers there considered it a downgrade to go from going after crypto companies to working in an entire different sector within the SEC. But at least sounds like it's a lot more positive for crypto companies and innovation. I'll be intrigued to see what happens moving forward in the next, 70 days? How long has Trump been in office?
Yeah, I mean, what is this, 4 weeks now? So, yeah, 70 days is about right. And they seem to be working weekends.
Yeah, so you talked about Operation Chokepoint 2.0. And I think last week, too, there was the Coinbase chief legal officer was testifying before Congress, along with Marathon's CEO as well. Elizabeth Warren pretty much told everybody up there that she was on their side and she wants to stop the unbanking, which is kind of funny that she said that. She also, I think, mentioned that she thought the CFPB is the right group to do that, which she helped start in 2011, which is the same group that Trump just shut down last week. And I think the last thing that I saw that she did, she asked for a list of the banks who debanked all the people that had been talking. And the response that she got from them was the banks were the victims. And there were a handful of documents that pretty much showed the FDIC was really in part behind preventing a lot of the banks from engaging in any crypto-related activity. So it wasn't the banks that making the decision. It was really the FDIC and other government agencies.
So for her to ask that question is pretty deceitful. She knows that. She knows that the banks aren't turning customers away. If she's not aware of that, then she's dumb. She's been preaching the same speech for years about how dangerous this is and fraudulent and all this stuff. And that's shocking. And they constantly act like it's the first time they've heard of this debanking thing, even though I know that she's heard of this stuff over and over again. So this politicians, like the old school politicians, if they can't figure out that the game's over, like, then they're not paying attention at all. Like this is going our way in a pretty major way. Like Elizabeth Warren's almost funny to watch because her power's shrinking so fast, and I don't think she gets it.
Yeah, I mean, she has no more allies left in Congress. They all lost during the last one. She got close to it, almost lost to a newcomer, right? So, yeah, things are changing. Massachusetts is about to add a strategic reserve of Bitcoin.
Right? Yeah, like we talked about the different states that are kind of passing bills, not passing bills, but the bills are getting out of committee and they're going onto floors for votes and things like that. And like, I got to a point where it's like, I can't keep up. It would be like two or three states every day. And so there's, you know, there's some websites hold keeping a map and things like that. But I don't even know that Massachusetts was on my radar for trying to pass legislation for strategic reserves.
Yeah, I think the latest ones that I saw, North Carolina just announced it. They announced possibly up to 10%, which is a lot, right? Kentucky is also right in the mix too. And there's some talk about if Kentucky does what they're talking about doing, it would be game changing for the rest of the other states. But I couldn't really understand why. Utah's still kind of in the lead. They're farther ahead than any other state as far as implementation. I think it's made to the second round of whatever committee it's got to go to. There's a couple that have, I think, turned it down, but I think there's 16 or 17 still active states that are working on this right now.
Yeah, this reminds me of the ETF stakes that the Bloomberg ETF guys, Eric Balkunas and James Seaford, they were like, it's basically a race to see which Bitcoin ETF got approved first. And they were like, you know, okay, well, BlackRock's in the lead and they were doing updates and it was kind of funny like that. It reminds me a lot of that, where which one of these states is in the lead. And there's actually somebody put out a graphic that showed the different states, and like step one was, is the bill in committee? Step two is the bill out of committee? And step three was, has it been approved? And so, you know, and if it was voted down, it'd have a big X. And it was like, yeah, it looks kind of like when you're at the fair and you're squirting a water gun at a target, like your thing's moving to the right, and whichever one gets there first wins. And I mean, holy cow, you talk about if you're the first state to pass a strategic reserve, you're probably going to win because the states behind you are going to be piling money and buying Bitcoin, and the ETFs are still buying, and Michael Saylor's still buying, and the US is going to start buying. I mean, it's like Bitcoin. The bullishness of the buy pressure right now is through the roof.
Yeah. So I think that website is called bitcoinlaws.io, by the way.
Okay.
But super interesting to look at. You mentioned MicroStrategy, aka Strategy now. It's going to be weird to recall them Strategy instead of MicroStrategy. Thanks. Kind of like calling Twitter X. It's going to take still some time for us to do that. But they made another buy, right? So 7,633 Bitcoin. Their total's up to 478,740 Bitcoin. Spent another $742 million. It keeps going, right? So, and I think they even, Linda, what is her name?
She might be the CFO. Fine. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. She kind of came on and said, yeah, the 21/21 plan is going well. We did it a little bit faster than we anticipated at the beginning, but they're going to continue to do that. So yeah, I mean, they're still all in from buying Bitcoin, still have a little ways to go. I should say a long ways to go, but based on them, it's going to be a lot longer or a lot more than what they probably anticipated.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm paying more and more attention to MicroStrategy now that I'm increased my holdings, and I've got MSTY to generate some cash instead of real estate. And their cost basis for all their Bitcoin is now $65,000 per Bitcoin. So anybody that has a cost basis of under $65,000 in Bitcoin is doing better from a buying standpoint than Strategy. And that, you know, it's got to be kind of a confidence booster. I mean, the 400-week moving average is in the 40,000s. So if your cost basis is in the 40s, you got to feel really good about this. And this $100,000 Bitcoin number seems to have a lot of gravity. I mean, we bounced between 92 and 108, you know, for months. And last year we bounced between 50 and 70 for months. And then we did a leg up. And so for me, MicroStrategy is doing their thing. They've got, they dilute, they print more shares to buy more at the money or at the market using the ATM, you know, acronym. And now they've got Strike that's bringing in more money for these people that like a less volatile investment that want some dividend. And so my understanding is they're going to slow down the ATM buys so that their stock price can regain some strength, because they've kind of been stuck in these low 300s or whatever, even though they're piling on Bitcoin. I mean, yeah. The amount of Bitcoin per share is going up, and the gains for the company are, you know, I think up year to date, they've got $2 billion in gains in on the Bitcoin in dollars. And so using that strike is going to allow them to buy Bitcoin without diluting the shares. So that's good for the price. And then they can still do the convertible notes thing where they can convert the notes to shares and then go out and get a bigger loan. So they might have a $1 billion convertible note. All right, pay that off, print the shares, pay that off, and then go get a $3 billion note. So basically, I think MicroStrategy is going to keep executing their plan. With all of this buy pressure coming for Bitcoin, I think that it should work. You know, black swans and all that could happen and tank it. But if people aren't paying attention to MicroStrategy right now, they're going to be paying attention in May when their earnings come out and the new FASB accounting rules are implemented and their earnings go from losing $3 a share to gaining $50 a share. It's going to trip a ton of algorithmic buying because people still don't pay attention to it. I saw something on this last earnings report where they MicroStrategy missed their earnings by $3 and they lost $3 a share. Like, everybody knew they were going to lose $3 a share because you could just calculate the lowest price of Bitcoin for all the Bitcoin cohorts they bought. And that there's the number. And if it's 92,000 when they do the earnings report or when they draw the paperwork up for the earnings report, that's bad. If it's 104, they're good. It's like they have the easiest stock to deal with. It's like buying Bitcoin. You don't have to think about it. You just buy it and it works. It goes up and you don't have to, you know, I don't have to play all these games. Traditional Wall Street investor types and analysts, I think that they're going to have to specialize a little bit on the strategy stuff because Semler Scientific right behind them and they're starting to do similar stuff. Marathon's doing convertible notes and there seems to be a healthy pool of money in the convertible note space to fund these notes. Everything seems to be overbought.
I think Semler just bought some more Bitcoin here recently too. And I looked at it, their stock price went up 4,800% in the past 12 months.
That's pretty insane. Good.
That's pretty insane.
Yeah, man. Bitcoin will do it. And I mean, how many zombie companies are out there that can benefit from this? Yeah. Like, I mean, think about GameStop, right? Like, they're a zombie company, but they've got this cult following. If they added Bitcoin to balance sheet and went up and sold shares and bought more Bitcoin, when it comes time for the crash, the Bitcoin's gonna damper that crash. So yeah, man, there's like some people have got to be paying attention because Strategy is in the top five for volume like every day. So and the funds are flowing in and they're in the queues and they're going to get into the S&P 500 after this FASB rule comes through and changes their earnings. So I like it is in the nature of these analysts and stuff to do kind of safe moves. But this year, my Strategy could do some crazy stuff.
Fingers crossed. I think you and I are both very leveraged into Strategy in general. So I'm hoping for some good things, not financial advice, but I'm fingers crossed.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've got some calls I'd like to hit, and I've got that MSTY play to replace the real estate income. And yeah, like I said, Bitcoin's great. I'm pulling for El Salvador. I'm pulling for Bhutan. I'm pulling for Strategy. I'm pulling for Semler Scientific. Like, you give me a state that gets to the finish line first for their sovereign wealth fund. I mean, I might be pulling for North Carolina or Utah or whatever. Like, I mean, I went to El Salvador on vacation. If Utah's got a sovereign Bitcoin fund, I might go skiing in Utah next year.
Yeah, I was listening to Vivek, who is going to be announcing he's going to be running for the governor of Ohio here pretty soon, I think the end of the month. And his goal, I think, would be to make Ohio one of the leaders in cryptocurrency. So I'm among a handful of other things, but it almost makes Ohio a little bit more enticing other than the weather.
I mean, Ohio, I've got a kid in middle school, so Ohio is like slang for bad. So, like, you know, Vivek might be able to turn that image around.
Yeah. So we're talking about MicroStrategy and some of the ETFs. Franklin Templeton just amended its S1 for its crypto index ETF. So that was the one that had, what was it, 86, 87% Bitcoin and about 13% Ethereum. They're actually seeking approval now to add tokens over time. So they're not really committing to adding anything right now. They just want the ability to do that in the future if things change, which I think is a good thing, right? It doesn't mean they're going to put 50% Solana or anything like that in there. It just says if they want to diversify a little bit more, then they can if the market's asking for it. So I think that's exciting, and I'm assuming that will get approved by this administration.
It's like it. The Bloomberg ETF guys, they put up a chart of like which of like over 100 ETFs have been applied for in the crypto space now. And they broke it down so that like they think the Litecoin ETF has like a 90% chance of passing, and they've got it. I didn't pull it up and look at it, but I kind of took a quick look this week. And I mean, but that's what you're going to have to do is like, all right, which one of these things is going to go through? But I mean, if you look at Ethereum, they've had an ETF live for quite a while, and it has Ethereum's sucking wind compared to Bitcoin. And I don't know how that goes. I don't know if Bitcoin separated itself and things are going to be different this time, or if Ethereum's lagging, or what's the deal?
Well, my thought is I think that the regulatory clarity is actually probably a huge win for Ethereum, since so many projects are built on top of Ethereum. Time will, of course, tell. I mean, even XRP has now, a new ETF coming out too. And I was just talking with somebody about, hey, what's going to happen there? And I mean, shoot, look what happened with Ethereum. The ETF didn't really do a ton there too. So I don't expect XRP to take off now because they're getting an ETF, but I could be wrong there too.
Right. Well, I mean, to me, XRP already took off, and you know, once these things kind of spike, it's tough to get more juice into them. So I'd be curious to see what happens there.
I think there is something that is interesting, kind of talking about Ethereum a little bit. So the representative, I think William Timmons, he's out of South Carolina. He's a member of the subcommittee on digital assets. And the cool part is, I think he's trying to really understand them more. He just set up his ENS, which is the Ethereum name service. So it's like his name .eth, and he posted on X. So kind of like I said, I think Ethereum will benefit from some regulatory clarity, but you got one of the members of the subcommittee of digital assets that's now posting his Ethereum address on his X profile to show that he's trying to understand this better. And that can only be good.
Yeah. I mean, that's something. I mean, I don't have one. Like there's a little bit of work to put in for that. So, you know, he's putting a little bit of time in. I'm supportive of that.
And then I also saw the CFTC is going to hold a public roundtable to talk about prediction markets. We just came off the Super Bowl and everybody's placing bets on that. Now the CFTC had kind of outlawed everything and then allowed it if you were based in the U.S. So Kalshi kind of was able to do it. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, Polymarket has done extremely well in proving that the market sentiment is very accurate. So I'll be intrigued to see what they do about trying to let it fly, or do they try to hold it back some from here?
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that goes.
So let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the world. I think I saw something that was kind of interesting. Maybe one of the presidents in Africa followed in Trump's footsteps. The Central African Republic president created a meme coin, CAR, on Pumped Up Fund. His goal was to unite people, support national development, and put his nation on the world stage in a unique way. Well, it kind of worked. He pumped it, or it pumped over to 900 million in market cap, and it's dropped back down to under 60 million. But if you look at where it was at 900 million, that's almost a third of the nation's GDP. So literally this meme coin almost did a third of the GDP. So not that I'm saying it's a great thing to do. It definitely got them on the map as far as something different. We'll see what it actually turns into, but at least you have African countries kind of thinking differently about crypto now too.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we need, is more people just doing stuff, trying stuff. I think the Trump coin is down under like $17 last time I saw it. So, you know, it did its thing and went to the 50s or whatever and came back down. Melania did. So I think that this will be a phase that kind of goes through. David Portnoy did one, and it's driving him crazy. Like they're just built to spike and drop. That's it, you know? And it's, you know, it's literally on a site that's pumped. They're not telling you that it's money. They're not, you know, they're not telling you that this is the world's internet computer or whatever. So to me, like, whatever, have some fun with it.
I think I saw Dave Portnoy's video. He's like, look, everybody's doing the same thing with meme coins, trying to make money. Don't be the last one holding the bag because then you get dumped on. He's like, I'm doing what everybody else is doing, just literally trying to make money. So don't cry about it. And as long as you know that going in, then there it is. You're good.
Yeah. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I've never done anything on Pump.Fun, but my understanding is like, you got to have like a Phantom wallet or some other wallet, Moon wallet. Like, in order, if you're jumping through those hurdles to get into that game, you know, it's not like you just went to a website and bought it. It's like, there's a little bit of work to do. So if you're going through, if you're navigating that to get to it, you ought to learn enough to know what you're getting into. So I don't see any victims here. If they're advertising on Fox News and getting, you know, little old ladies to buy stuff from a website, that would be one thing. But there's no little old ladies that are getting Moon wallets and Phantom wallets and playing the game. So I think, you know, there's a buyer beware, but I don't know that there's a lot of buyers that are getting into it and are like, oh man, I thought this was a reputable thing. I thought this was only up and up. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I do like Phantom's wallet. I think it's pretty slick. It's a Solana wallet, although I think they're adding capability for some other things in the future if they haven't done that already. But I mean, yeah, you know what you're getting into if you get onto that. Like, the whole point of meme coins is not, oh yeah, I think this is going to be around long term. It's how can I make money very quickly in 24 or 48 hours? And if you're not paying attention around that time, you're probably going to get screwed. So speaking of other meme coin-like coins, there's a Canadian publicly traded firm, Neptune Digital Assets, that just bought about $250,000 worth of Doge in addition to its Bitcoin stash, right? So it's intriguing that they are buying something else other than Bitcoin. I'm surprised a little that it's Doge. I don't know why they would do that, but maybe they know something that I don't. So good for them for diversifying, maybe. But kind of funny they did Doge.
It does feel like Doge, of all the meme coins, is like somehow found its way into the real world, you know, with like Elon Musk likes it, and now there's a freaking Department of Government Efficiency Doge. So I mean, it's a sticky meme coin, you know. It doesn't seem to go away. And honestly, you know, the way it distributes itself, or the, you know, how the coins enter the market, it's less and less inflationary. So, I mean, maybe it's not so bad. I don't know. I haven't looked a ton into it because it's always been a joke. But, you know, if we have the similar cycle where Bitcoin goes up and then money turns into, for then Bitcoin has some sellers that go into Ethereum and all that, I mean, Doge might be up in that top tier, that first tier that gets funds flowed from Bitcoin. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Well, shoot, I think it's already at least a top 20 crypto asset, right? Yeah. So it's doing very well. I'll be intrigued to see where it goes from here. We talked about the Czech National Bank, I think last week, and one of their governors wanting to put a bunch of money into the strategic reserve, I think like 5%. The board for that bank now is commissioning a study to assess the Bitcoin's feasibility as a reserve asset. So they think it's going to take months, and they'll probably reduce the overall percentage from 5% down to 1%. But which is, I think, still a start, right? That's where I think we expected most countries to start, closer to 1%. I mean, this did come after the ECB president said Bitcoin will never be a strategic reserve. So it's definitely headed in the right direction for sure.
Right. And that same Czech Republic passed a law that eliminated capital gains for Bitcoin if it was held for 3 or more years. Yep. And there's also a $4,200 per year de minimis tax exemption. So even if you're inside that 3 years, you can capture up to $4,200 worth of gains before you start to see taxes. Like, good on you, Czech Republic. Like, if the United States did that, that would be huge, and it would be logical. Like, you know, you'd have people like the economists don't want savings, right? They want the velocity of money. They want money flowing through the economy and all this. When I buy, the reason I buy MicroStrategy is because when I buy Bitcoin, it goes into a black hole, and never comes out. I don't want to sell my Bitcoin, but you start to motivate people to sell their Bitcoin by giving them capital gains exemptions. Now you're starting to let that money flow, and goods and services are being purchased and transacted and all that. So, I good for you, Czech Republic. Hopefully they can stick with it, and they don't get too much pressure from European Central Bank and the IMF or all the other stuff that push the El Salvadorian Bukele, President Bukele, around a little bit. Hopefully they'll stick to it. But it's like, okay, guys, there's a th the third country in the mix. The Czech Republic is, I would put them behind, right up there with, if they come out and say, hey, yeah, we've been mining, we have these nuclear power plants on the German border where we sell electricity into Germany, and a lot of times, we have excess capacity, so we just started mining Bitcoin. If they throw that in there, then they're right up there. They're the third country in line for being a big Bitcoiner, because I'm sure they have excess power.
Oh, this is one of those announcements that if every country adopted this, it would be game changing. I mean, it's kind of similar to, I think Larry Fink was just interviewed, and he said he's talking to all these sovereign wealth funds, and the question is not do we do 2% Bitcoin, is do we do 5% Bitcoin? And he's like, if every sovereign wealth fund and country and have these conversations, Bitcoin's at $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 per Bitcoin right now. Right. So it just changes the game and the mindset of what everybody else is believing in. And man, I hope it happens. Shoot, we've been talking about this for ever. If the US would just pass this, transactions under $200 would not be taxable on Bitcoin, right? So shoot, okay, it's fine. Make it $4,200 or whatever it's going to be a year. That'd be even better.
And you talk about other countries. We talk about Hong Kong from time to time, because it feels like China's using them as a way to get Bitcoin exposure without actually kind of having to admit that they like Bitcoin. But Hong Kong has a lawmaker that's pushing for a Bitcoin strategic reserve. And his theory is we need to move fast because we need to get there before the US does. And you and I talked about it. You got 70 days. Maybe they jump into Bitcoin in 70 days and maybe they don't. But do you want to wait and see? Or do you want to go? They're going to jump in. Some of the states are going to pass laws. Like, all of this stuff is going to happen. And I don't know if you're paying attention, but this government is moving at breakneck speed. They're moving at, like, I mean, even for small business, they're moving fast, let alone government. I mean, it's every day they're making moves and doing things. So I would imagine if you've got one or two people in your parliament or whatever that's chirping about this, like, hey, we need to think about this. The United States is going to do it. We don't need to be behind. Most of these people are just going to wait. I mean, it's like everything else. They can't dodge a punch. They just see the fist coming from a mile away and they don't move. They just take it in the nose. And some of these countries are going to do it, but some of them are going to jump ahead. And what's the downside? What are you holding? You're holding gold. You're holding US treasuries at low percentage, like 2% of your sovereign wealth in Bitcoin. Okay, so your downside, you might lose 1%. Like, that seems like it's worth it, especially if the US jumps in and everybody follows. Now your 1% becomes 8% because it 8x'd, and you go to $800,000 Bitcoin. That's just me, because I've been doing this for so freaking long. And the asymmetry of the trade still exists. Like, there's still at $100,000 Bitcoin, there's still more upside relative to the downside.
Well, and the crazy part is, I mean, we're talking about strategic Bitcoin reserves. The other thing that David Sacks mentioned was a sovereign wealth fund, and that was completely separate than the strategic reserve. So not only is the United States looking at doing a strategic reserve along with most states at this point, we're also looking at doing a sovereign wealth fund that will theoretically incorporate some sort of digital assets as well. So, I mean, that's super bullish, right? It's not just one entity that's going to be buying, it's now two. And they both have to buy a lot for the 300 plus million Americans in the US, right? So.
Yeah, I'm mixed about the sovereign wealth fund. Just government owning shares, owning having ownership of companies, and I just feel like you're going to start picking winners, and you're going to have some bribery type stuff. Like, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of, like, that's why I like gold, right? Were you going to bribe gold? There's no CEO to bribe, right? The treasuries similar, but you can still see some kickbacks happening. But yeah, you're going to buy Bitcoin. You put Bitcoin in the balance sheet. You're not picking winners and losers, right? There's no companies that are paying a price because you didn't choose them. So I'm a little mixed on sovereign wealth fund. I do like the fact that you're talking about, hey, let's hold something back for the American people. The United States has a ton of buying power and we need to, you know, use that to support things. But the government just screwed everything up, man. They screwed up Social Security. They screwed up healthcare. Like, I just expect them to screw this up.
Well, it's kind of a good lead into one of the other things that I was looking into. So Charles Hoskinson, one of the head guys at Cardano, has been mentioning that he is going to be talking with someone special at the end of February. And there's a lot of speculation of who that's going to be. But one of the big things they're talking about is, especially with what Doge is doing and trying to track all government spending and put it on the blockchain, Cardano is a perfect fit for that. And maybe since Charles has already kind of pitched that concept to Elon Musk in the past, that maybe that would be worthwhile. So if you could have pretty much the entire federal budget somewhat online on a public blockchain so you can see where all the money's going, then maybe it makes a lot more sense where it's transparent. I know that's a big ask and the chances of that happening are probably pretty small, but it would still be amazing if it got to that point.
I mean, being able to, you know, go on and verify transactions and see where it went, you know, that's not a bad thing, because then you could basically crowdsource Doge after Doge dissolves in July of next year. And it'd be like, hey, why are we spending $50 million on hotel rooms for migrants out of FEMA when you said FEMA doesn't have any money for the North Carolina residents? And so, you know, right now you've got 6 20-year-old dudes doing it. But in the future, if it's more transparent on the blockchain, then yeah, you could train AI to do it and just red flag things and then people could bring it up.
Yeah, I did see. So Charles also kind of called out USAID and said they funded a book that portrayed Bitcoin as a right-wing ideology. So Cyber Libertarianism, which is a book that was published by University of Minnesota, its author had written a book about Bitcoin, labeling it as an extremist movement. And he was funded by $80,000 in direct grants from the U.S. government to do this. So, and it also has been added to course reading list at University of Southern Cal and Duke. Just like, what the heck is going on? Like, this is crazy. So,
meanwhile, the University of Austin bought $5 million worth of Bitcoin for their endowment, and Emory's $15 million Bitcoin ETF purchase is now worth $20 million. So, like, okay, universities, like, you guys are going to battle it out on Bitcoin versus anti-Bitcoin, because I know which team I would like to be on. And while we're talking about colleges, man, I was talking to my friend. He's got a nephew who's going to TCU, and he's like, man, he joined a fraternity. He's like, several of his fraternity brothers are millionaires on their own money already. Like, Jesus. Not on their parents' money, but he said they opened, like, they buy these franchises. The frat now buys franchises of restaurants and the pledge brother, the rookie class, goes in and works at them. And so they basically are generating cash flow from that. But he's like, a lot of it's Bitcoin and stock trading and stuff like that. Like, I'm like, okay, like, this is interesting. I mean, if you're a college and you've got young Bitcoin millionaires that are picking which college to go to, and your college is anti-Bitcoin, I think that's a loser move.
Holy cow. Wow. That's a really interesting way to structure your college experience. Learn about a business by working and almost owning it at the same time.
Yeah, come out with a degree and some entrepreneurial experience. Like, that's way better than just going to some parties, making A's, B's, and C's, and get a piece of paper. Like, oh yeah, here's, I graduated from here. Here's my GPA or whatever. And oh yeah, I ended up being the general manager for the Jimmy John's that I had 2 years of management experience. Like, it's good to see kids, young people, freaking figuring stuff out. And instead of just, you know, screwing around in those early 20s, because if you can set yourself up in the 20s, man, your 30s are easier and your 40s are way better.
Yeah, that is definitely true. Also saw Proton rolled out their new self-custody Bitcoin wallet, which the interesting piece is you can link your email address to your crypto address to make it easier to send crypto to and from people. And the other cool thing about Proton is they're not a crypto company, they're not an exchange, they're not a crypto issuer. all they are is a company that wants to preserve privacy and freedom online. So it is a cool thing to do. I mean, they have, it is a free wallet. I think depending on what you want to do, there are paid features that you can upgrade to, but that's exciting to see that we have more options out there moving forward.
Yeah. I don't know. That's one of those things that I don't follow, but like there's so many different organizations going after so many different things. Some of them are going to work, man. And that's like when you're talking about doing like innovation incubators, like this is why you have to have friendly SEC framework so that different companies are trying different things in your country. Like you don't want Elon Musk to develop Tesla in Europe. You want it to be done in the United States. So, you know, one of these things is going to work, or several of them are going to work, and they're going to be unicorn companies, and they're going to provide jobs, and they're going to pay taxes, and you want them in your country.
Well, Proton is in Switzerland. They have been one of the original privacy companies. So if you want kind of one of the most secure email accounts, Proton has been around for a long time, and that's what a lot of people use. They do VPNs and other things as well. But more of that would be great, especially after the worry in the last election of freedom of speech almost going away. It was probably going to become a lot bigger if somebody else did win. But yeah, it's crazy how things are changing. We talked about there's a guy in the UK that had a hard drive. They got thrown in the landfill, and the judge didn't allow him to get access to that. He is now proposing to buy the landfill.
Jeez.
And apparently he has some partners that are interested. I think there's even talk about tokenizing this entire project and giving the crypto community a piece of it. And so I think we're going to see what happens. The crazy part is they've announced that somewhere between 2025 and 2026, the landfill is going to shut down. What's crazy is the reason they told him he couldn't get into that landfill is because doing any of that work would cause problems with being able to access the landfill. But they're talking about shutting it down and turning it into a solar farm of some sort. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see kind of where things go and what happens with that. I thought it was over, and now it's almost back to the starting line.
Man, so it's funny. This week, my basement just collects junk, and I finally had enough. So I loaded up my truck, and I loaded up a trailer, and I took like 1,300 pounds of just junk to the landfill here in town. And while I'm throwing away this 1,300 pounds of junk one piece at a time, and these bulldozers are pushing all these other pieces of junk around, all I can think is, there's no way this guy's going to find this hard drive with Bitcoin on it. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm like, there's got to be an easier way to find, you know, whatever it is, $100 million in Bitcoin or whatever. I can't even remember it anymore.
768 or something like that.
768 million in Bitcoin in today's prices.
Yeah.
God almighty, man. What a job that would be, man. And even if you do find it, you may not be able to get it back to life, So, man, when I was throwing that stuff, I'm like, no way would I do this. No, I think it would just be one of those stories I would tell. I'm like, man, I wish I could get into that landfill. But looking at it, I'm like, we're a small town, and I don't know how the UK does their landfills, but like, there's no way to find something. Once it's in there, it's gone.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what happens for sure. So another thing that's kind of interesting from a crypto use case, we've talked about Helium Mobile a little bit in the past. Helium has their own token that runs on Solana. They have just opened up their first free zero plan, which is 5G data, 300 text, and 100 minutes per month for free. So there's a wait list now to get on there. It's built entirely around Helium's 5G network, which is powered by just thousands of user nodes. You do have to bring your own plan. So there's somebody saying, well, this isn't for everybody because someone would have to buy their own phone instead of having it be financed by the phone company. I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, are you kidding me right now?
There's places to buy phones. It's not that hard to go on Facebook Marketplace and find phones. There's not that hard to go to Amazon and get a refurbished phone that's affordable. I mean, it's not like that just sounds like somebody that's just against it trying to poke holes. Like, you can get a phone.
Exactly. But to pay nothing for a phone, I was almost like, crap, I might want to do this and just have another line that nobody knows about.
Especially if, I mean, if, like 100 minutes doesn't sound like much, because like when you and I were in college, you know, it wasn't unlimited minutes. Like the plans would have different numbers of minutes and it would be like 1,000. But now, I mean, how many minutes you really use? And you could use, you know, data-driven phone calls, like IP phone calls. So if you had unlimited data between texts and IP phone calls instead of just old school using minutes, I bet you could. Man, if you're like, you know what, I want to drop $100 a month off of my bill, then yeah. Or you got a kid that wants a phone, or it's time for them to get a phone. Like, you can go get a job, or you can use this phone this way instead. So I mean, there's definitely a market for free stuff. So that'll work.
Yeah. I mean, my thought too is, if you're getting into crypto, why not set up a phone that is almost separate just for crypto? So you're not, if you get your swim swapped with your regular phone number that everybody knows about, then that's a problem. With this, no one really even knows about it, so they're not going to be able to do anything with it, theoretically, yeah. Right? I mean,
yeah, no, so that's another good point. Yeah,
it doesn't cost you anything other than you got to pay for a phone. It's which is, I mean, if you're not paying for a service, you make that back very quickly. That's all I got. What else did I miss?
Just little stuff. PNC Bank, eighth largest bank in the United States, has $325 billion under management. Has $67 million in Bitcoin now, based on their latest filing. So another bank holding it on their balance sheet. So that's not nothing. And then, you know, I like to just kind of talk about day-to-day stuff. So my kid asked me who I wanted to win the Super Bowl. And I'm like, well, I'm kind of tired of the Chiefs winning. And so I guess I'm kind of pulling for the Eagles. Plus Saquon Barkley's a Bitcoin guy, so I'm kind of pulling for him. And sure enough, like, Eagles win, and like, Jack Mallers and Jack Dorsey are posing with pictures with Saquon Barkley after the Super Bowl with Satoshi shirts on. So, you know, add Saquon Barkley to the El Salvador strategy, similar scientific, like, things to pull for. Like, it's kind of fun. So, you know, he had a Bitcoiner win the Super Bowl. That's pretty good. He didn't have a particularly productive day, but I think the reason for their success might have been that the Chiefs defense was keyed up on him, and that opened up some things for other guys. But yeah, you know, good week for Bitcoin.
Yeah, the play action pass did really well for them that game. That's for sure. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, that sounds good. I think next week let's plan on talking about the standard podcast or standard Bitcoin book, and we'll do a podcast on a review on that and go from there.
Sounds good. I'll bone up on it.
All righty. See you, Al.
Thanks, good. Thanks, man. See you.
If all of these crypto conversations leave you with more questions and you're looking for answers, I've created a product that dives into most of those answers, including why crypto, how to set up a cold wallet, and some of the more advanced strategies for dealing with crypto. Check the link in the notes below, and hope to see you there.